What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, here's the thing. You don't have to listen to all these commercials. Did you know that? Including what I'm saying right now. You might be asking, how the hell does that work? How can I get the show without all the commercials? Well, all you need to do is go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show and sign up for the ultimate edition of the podcast. If you do, you're going to get an entirely commercial-free version of the show presented exclusively on the Patreon page and on the Patreon app. Plus, you get the Shadow Docket bonus shows, the Friday after party with me and Kimberly. But wait, there's more. You're also going to get access to the Patreon app, the Bob Seska Show chat room, the comment sections, and more. Again, that's patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, March 7, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,143 of the Biden-Harris administration, 243 days until the 24 presidential election. You find me on Instagram and Threads, the Bob Seska, Twitter, Bob_Seska_go. Blue Sky, Bob Seska, Spoutable Bob Seska, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. Okay, so Jody had a technological meltdown at her home studio. So it's just me and David today. Here we go. It is David Ferguson.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you, my friend?
Pretty good. I miss Jody because it's our anniversary.
It is the 5-year anniversary of the Goth Ninjas, and we only have one Goth Ninja here today. So it's so sad. But at least, you know what? We all three commemorated it last week, a week ahead of time, prematurely.
How has it been 5 years? That's kind of insane to me.
You know what? I thought it was more. I thought it was like 7. I thought it was maybe shortly after Chez died that we got both of you on, but it wasn't. It was a couple years after that before I got my shit together and said, hey, you know what? David, Jody, this might be a great combination.
You got your chocolate in my peanut butter.
That's exactly right.
Peanut butter on my chocolate.
It's a perfect combination. I'm so grateful to have both of you here every Thursday, and we just have a blast every Thursday.
Well, you're just going to have to fucking make do today, Seska.
It's just me, right.
In a one-legged race to the finish.
Okay, so let's see. Where do we start here? Tonight, of course, is the State of the Union, David. Are you going to watch?
Yeah, of course.
And if you're hearing this podcast after the State of the Union, how'd it go? How was it? Everything going okay?
Yeah. Hello, people of the future.
Yes. Was there chaos? Is there anything that we should look out for? I don't know. I'm bending the space-time continuum now here.
Just this time last year, you know, Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Three Toes were just besties yelling at President Biden on, and look at them now.
Yes.
Not even speaking.
Right.
Calling each other a little bitch.
So one of the things I'd like to do, just to preface the State of the Union, even if you're listening after the fact, it's important to remind ourselves of this particular moment. And it was just a year ago. It seems like with the news cycle, how rapidly it moves, it seems like it was 3 years ago or five years ago.
It seems like successive reincarnations ago, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
When I was alive in the Sumerian era, you know.
Yeah, well, the crazy thing that happened last time around was the president was talking about Social Security and Medicare and protecting both of those programs and was able to amazingly bait the Republican Party, all of the congressional Republicans, into saying, no, we're not going to cut Social Security. We're not going to cut Medicare. And then he's like, Okay, so we have consensus. You're not going to cut Social Security and Medicare. And it was a beautiful thing. Here's kind of what that sounded like a year ago.
That, sir, is an investigated fabrication. It's rabbit season. Duck season. Yeah. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Wabbit season. I say it's duck season, and I say fire.
President Biden, ladies and gentlemen, rabbit season, duck seasoning the entire Republican congressional delegation.
How like many House speakers was that ago?
God, that's so funny. Yeah, I think Kevin McCarthy was House Speaker at that point in time. Just yep, had barely, yeah, gotten in.
Mr. Limp Gavel.
That's exactly right. I think that might have been the name of the show that we did right after the State of the Union. It's entirely possible. But here, in all seriousness, this was President Biden a year ago. Rabbit season, duck seasoning the entire Republican congressional delegation. Here we go. Check this out. This has never happened before. This was historic.
Some of my Republican friends want to take the economy hostage. I get it. Unless I agree to their economic plans. All of you at home should know what those plans are. Instead of making the wealthy pay their fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority.
See? Mm-hmm. See, this is where
boo, we hate that. Boo, wait, do we hate that? Who hates
that's, that's right. He's saying they want these programs to sunset, screwing over generations of people. And they're like, no, we want to keep these things.
We want these programs to sundown harder than Trump.
They just walked right into it, didn't they? They just stepped directly into the snare.
Let me give you anybody who doubts it. Contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote.
Listen to that decorum.
God, I still hear Marjorie Taylor Greene's fucking glass cutter of a voice.
Liar!
But these are people.
She's so annoying.
They have no respect whatsoever for any institution or establishment or tradition or anything like that. No
but
self-respect.
If Democrats had booed President Trump during one of his State of the Unions, it would be the fucking end of the world. They would be calling for, like, you know, treason, hanging, and just like, how dare they? You know,
I mean, occasionally it does happen, but not to this volume, not to
Never.
This level of mania.
No one's ever from the Democratic aisle, so far as I know, stood up and yelled liar at a president.
Right. Ever. God damn it. All right, let's get back to it. More yelling.
Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant.
Listen, they're doubling down here now. Now they're like, what are you, crazy? We love Social Security. We love Medicare. You're out of your mind, Joe Biden. It's like they're so desperate to say, no, fuck you, Joe Biden. That's the bait. He knows that they're going to flip their shit at him. So all he has to do is pull that trigger on something that seconds later they will regret doing. It's an incredible
It's kind of diabolical, really.
Right. Suddenly their beaks are spinning around their heads like Daffy Duck.
Incredible. It's what you do to people who are completely reactionary.
Right, right.
You know, you're like, hey, I'm so proud I don't drink bleach.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
Like, very, I love drinking bleach.
Very, very easy to bait bullies into doing things that you want them to do. That's the crazy thing about this. That's the danger of Donald Trump himself. Wasn't it Hillary Clinton in 2016 said, a guy who can be baited with a tweet shouldn't have control over the nuclear codes.
Seriously.
Because it's so easy to bait them. And they're all just like Donald Trump, too.
I was just thinking about, like, I mean, can you articulate any, what are their policy positions as a party right now? Like, what is the platform of Donald Trump's campaign? Like, what is, I mean, he's got, like, no tax program that I've heard anything about, no healthcare program that I've heard anything about.
No.
It's just all, you know, own the libs, make them cry.
Yeah.
We're so, you know, USA. I mean, it's just, it's,
That's the astonishing thing, David, about the fact that so many Americans think that Donald Trump will reduce prices back to where they were in 2019.
Even Hitler had policy goals.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I can't even be bothered.
But there are lots of people thinking that somehow Donald Trump's going to do it. They can't cite a single policy proposal because there are none. He's got no policy proposals. His only policy proposal is, I'm going to be a dictator. I'm going to round up brown people and ship them out of the country. Looping in all kinds of actual American citizens in the process. I mean, that's the extent of what, I mean, I guess there's also restructuring the entire federal government to serve Donald Trump. That's something, that's a policy proposal. None of these things.
That's for a bunch of overpaid interns at Heritage.
That's right. Project 2025 for sure. But, so there it is.
Faces like boiled shrimp,
All right, let's get to the end of this. This is the end of last year's rabbit season, duck seasoning of the entire Republican congressional delegation. Amazing.
But it's being proposed by individuals. I'm not politely not naming them, but it's being proposed by some of you. Proposed. Look.
A third time.
Folks.
It was Rick Scott.
The
let's
idea
not forget.
Is yeah. that we're not going to be, we're not going to be moved into being threatened to default on the debt if we don't respond. Folks. So, folks, as we all apparently agree.
There it is.
Social Security and Medicare is off the books now, right? They're not to be sold. All right.
Got
and they're just sitting there going, what just happened?
Yeah.
Wait.
Consensus. Yeah. Consensus. He fooled the Republicans.
See, I think this is why, I mean, I read yesterday that Mike Johnson has been, telling his caucus to keep their depends on.
Yeah. Right.
And
yeah.
Not, have tantrums and yell and do things like that, which can get them audibly on the record trapped into policy positions that they actually don't support.
Is he really saying that? Is that something Mike Johnson's actually doing?
Yes, he did actually ask. I mean, let me see if I can find it. I can't remember.
Okay.
It might have been Axios or something, but let me pull out my phone.
Yeah, that could be. And by the way, speaking of Axios, while you look that up, Chief of Staff Jeff Zients said Joe Biden will remind people, quote, where the economy was 3 years ago when the president walked into office and where we are now, where we're headed, what his vision is for the economy. One of the things that the Republicans are doing right now is asking the question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I mean, talk
about 4 years ago, we had just gone into lockdown.
Yes.
Wait. Yeah. It was the third day of lockdown, dude.
Yeah.
4 years ago, wasn't it? 2020? Anyway.
Yes, it was. And that's what's so astonishing about this line of attack. Elise Stefanik was standing up there in front of a microphone going, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? 4 years ago, when we were wiping our asses with coffee filters.
4 years ago to this day was the day that I was like, Ben, we're not going out in public
for a while.
Or not without. We didn't even have masks yet. Right. All we had was gloves. And,
well, that's one of the things I've been
trying. But anyway, here's from the Hill.
Oh, okay.
Speaker Mike Johnson. Our Louisiana is urging GOP lawmakers to maintain decorum. They wouldn't know fucking decorum if it was a tablecloth.
What decorum?
When President Biden delivers his State of the Union address Thursday night after Republicans had a number of outbursts during last year's speech.
Right.
Johnson made the request during a closed-door GOP conference meeting Wednesday morning. Three Republican lawmakers who attended the gathering told The Hill.
Yeah.
Decorum is the order of the day, Johnson told members, according to one lawmaker. He said we should carry ourselves with good decorum, another member said. Way to not completely understand the word.
Yeah.
He said, it's decorum.
Has he asked
he said,
around?
Carry ourselves with good datura.
Yeah, Has he seen his caucus? Has he checked?
The fucking clown car that he's got to drive in there tomorrow tonight.
I mean, Lauren Boebert's still there. Marjorie Taylor Greene is still there. We live in the era of social media clout. And whatever they can do to go viral on the various social media platforms, they will do that.
He's from the Hill also. The heckling about Social Security and Medicare led to an unusual back and forth between Biden and Republican critics, which prompted an agreement from individuals in the room that the two programs should remain intact. Well, I'm glad to see you. Now I tell you, I enjoy conversion, Biden said, prompting laughs.
That is the weakest possible way to describe what happened last year.
Yeah.
He tricked the Republicans.
At least it's in the article, you know?
Yeah. He tricked them all into pledging not to touch Social Security and Medicare in front of the entire world on national television live without any scripting. That was a completely unscripted moment. I mean, how can you script the fact that the Republicans all went, no, no, three separate times as he's going through that section of the remarks?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to interrupt, but just saw that the actual House of, you know, the House of Representatives, the National House is passed, is now dabbling in this Lake and Riley matter, the thing that I was telling you about before we started recording.
Wow.
They passed a bill today that would require the detention of any migrant who is accused of burglary or theft.
Yeah.
The Lake and Riley Act cleared with a 251 to 170 vote with 37 Democrats. What are you fucking doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you want to take a second to tell people what we're talking about?
Yes, please do. Yes, recap that entire story for us, please.
So, okay, here in my town, a couple of weeks ago, a pretty white girl was murdered by an immigrant who was, you know, working under the table. He's undocumented. So, yeah. And he was from Venezuela. And that, you know, she was 20 years old, pretty girl from a Republican family. And it has become like right wing people are just like charging into town to stake a claim and like scream at, you know, they're asking for the mayor to resign, which is ridiculous. So you're like, oh, yeah, so, you know, there was a murder. So the mayor should immediately resign because they claim that it's his policies that are responsible for us being a sanctuary city, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And the Georgia House passed a bill this week. It says that city and local cops and sheriff's departments can arrest people for being in the country illegally if they suspect, or at least detain them to ascertain their citizenship status, which is previously a duty that was only enforceable by federal officers from Customs and Immigration. So now these people are like stomping all over this girl's dead body to promote their racist agenda. And that, you know, there was a rally the other night at City Hall that I attended, and it got really, because there was a counter protest across the street. The people who are anti-immigrant were on the courthouse steps, and they were inside screaming at the mayor.
Yeah.
This one guy went on Fox News. He was here yelling at the mayor last week during Mayor Gertz's press conference and telling him to resign and saying that blood was on his hands. Which they bypass the chief of police because he's a Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, instead of saying it's his fault, it's the mayor, our liberal mayor. Who, I mean, we could not have a better mayor. Mm-hmm. The guy, you know, like, was a high school student. I mean, high school history teacher for at-risk students at the most dangerous high school in town. You know, like, actually, the alternative high school where the kids who were too disruptive to stay in the public schools are taken, and like, has really made a difference in the community in term, and it's just like. But this is their agenda, you know, and they're going to seize on anything that fits their narrative to attack Democratic officials and try to have them removed from office.
There is such a colossal level of cynicism in and among wealthy people in this country. And I know that sounds like I'm speaking the obvious, but if you look at, for example, inflation, a lot of these corporations that sell consumer goods and services are deliberately inflating and gouging customers with prices right now because they know people will blame Joe Biden. They will blame politicians, even though the lion's share of inflation right now is the consequence of corporations gouging customers with higher prices. And the same thing goes with immigration. Wealthy people, wealthy CEOs and corporate boards of directors love the fact that immigrants are being demonized right now as being these bloodthirsty criminals beheading people. Why? Because then we're not looking at the fact that no one kills more Americans than wealthy people in this country.
Yeah.
I always talk about like,
fact.
Yeah, I mean, if
here's the thing, like there's an average of like 5 to 7 homicides per year in Athens-Clarke County.
Yeah.
And I did some research and the people who were murdered in Athens-Clarke County, I didn't get the 2023 figures. 2022, there were 7 and there was 4 black people, 2 Latino people and 1 white person that were murdered. And I guarantee you that none of the people who are over there standing on the steps at City Hall screaming about immigration, none of them could name you any of the people who were murdered in Athens, Clark County last year or the year before because they were poor.
The thing that I always think about is not necessarily, you know, one guy murdering someone else. But what I think of when I think of murder, I think of the polluters who are continuously getting away with it. I think of
healthcare non-providers.
Exactly.
Health insurance companies.
Right, right. Yeah. So if you actually were to calculate the number of people in this country who die because of corporate greed and Republican deregulation, I think you'll find a much larger death toll than what you're seeing at the hands of immigrants, of undocumented workers and so forth. The crazy disparity in all of this is that while some people in this country are screaming about migrant workers, or they're screaming about black people in Chicago, or whatever they happen to be screaming about, where they're demonizing based on race and fear-mongering and propaganda, it's ridiculous the number of people who right now cannot turn on their water faucet and drink the water that comes out.
Right.
You know, they can't breathe the air without breathing in all kinds of carcinogenic filth from the local battery manufacturing plant or whatever it happens to be. Donald Trump, when he was president, the first thing he did after he was inaugurated was he deregulated mining companies, allowing them to dump their toxic slurry into nearby rivers, lakes, and streams. That was something that actually happened. And I'm sure they all went, great, finally, we can do this. What are we going to do with all this toxic slurry?
I remember when a bunch of pediatricians spoke out in year three saying that, okay, well, the pediatric brain tumors have started.
Right.
From the chemicals that he okayed to be pumped back into the atmosphere.
Yes, yes. And that's the kind of shit that we don't see because it doesn't generate those if it bleeds, it leads kind of headlines in the news media. It's just not something that is sexy to put on the front page or to lead off a news program with.
So hard right now. Just the fact that Donald Trump is even there,
I know,
as a possibility to run for president again,
yeah,
means that the media has just fucking failed.
Yeah. The news media has been treating him like a regular candidate for president.
Well, he's a cash cow for them, is the thing. They all know that he, like, brings the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when news became a business, it's kind of when all this kind of went crazy, because before, when there were just three networks and it was Walter Cronkite and two other guys who nobody remembers, it was not, the news was a loss leader. It wasn't a revenue generator for television.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was there as almost a public service because people needed to stay informed about the facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it became an ad, like a business, like a profit thing, like a 24-hour adrenaline cycle of fear and anger on all fronts, it cheapened the discourse, and it's given us the clown show that we have in front of us right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, whether it's people inside the news media, whether it's showrunners, editors, et cetera, reporters themselves, or just rank and file voters looking in on the political discourse, I think there's a lot of misapprehensions about what the dynamics of our politics are right now. What we are in at this point is not an advantageous time. It's not ideal. Our politics, suffice to say, are not ideal. It's a lot riskier to watchdog our Democratic leadership right now because we don't want to do anything necessarily that's going to damage the Democratic Party when the other side is full of fascist idiocrats. I mean, that's the unenviable position we're in right now. Donald Trump has put us in this place where we constantly have to triage against the rise of fascism. And that means deferring some things that we would normally do in terms of accountability and watchdogging to a future time once we can get back to safe ground. We're not on safe ground right now. So, as far as they were having this conversation.
As far as I'm concerned, we haven't been. I mean, it's since Reagan. I mean, it just to be, the Republican Party has not been changed essentially by Donald Trump. It's just become less opaque.
Yeah.
You know, he's just reduced it to its black tar heroin essence. He's cooked it down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's made a Republican reduction, I guess.
That's just it. He's shoved us into this realm of politics where everything is existential. What I'm getting at, I guess, is that these are not normal times. This is not about the press has to. Yeah, I think, you know what? In normal times, the press has to vet our political leadership, including the president of the United States, even if he's from our own party, of course. What we're working toward here is to get back to that. to get back to the place where, as I said, we can hold our leadership accountable, irrespective of who they are or what party they belong to. But we're not there. And that is an unenviable and undesirable place to be in a democracy. However, there's nothing that we can do about it now other than to make sure that Donald Trump is crushed, humiliated out of political existence, and that his party disintegrates and is replaced by something else. That is what has to happen here. Because otherwise, I mean, we just can't continue. We'll never get back to that normal place where we have the luxury to talk about frivolous things or to hold our leadership accountable. It's just impossible right now. So that being said, as we've delved into the realm of absolute singularity darkness here, let's talk about a bit about Super Tuesday, David. I want to talk about North Carolina specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And something I noticed, and obviously this goes back to what we've been discussing for some time now with regard to Donald Trump's utter weakness going into this election.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to the aforementioned news media narrative on Donald Trump, I think Donald Trump is far weaker, and I'm not breaking any news here, lots of people saying this, but I think Donald Trump is far weaker than what is being reported right now. And one of the ways,
like I've been saying all along, he is exhausting. And I think even to the people who like him, he's exhausting. And his routines are kind of falling flat from what I heard that one clip of him. What was it? He started to get mixed up, and then he just kind of gave up halfway through the sentence.
Here it is. This is right. He did the Napoleon Dynamite sigh. Listen to this. Here he is.
We are a nation that just recently heard that Saudi Arabia and Russia will repeat your
No, dude, get your own.
That's right. My lips hurt real bad. And as we pointed out on Tuesday, his whole face contorted and his one eyeball looked like it was about to pop out of his skull. It was an amazing thing to observe. In fact, I made a screen grab of it and posted it on Twitter and put it side by side with that restored painting of Jesus that got all distorted. It looks the same. It's the same thing. But anyway, what was I talking about here? North Carolina, Trump's weakness. And I'm going someplace really positive with this, so you have to bear with me through some math. Okay,
told there would be no math on this test.
And the crazy thing is, I suck at math. When I was tweeting about this, I kept typing in, please check my math because I'm not confident in my math abilities. However, I think I got these numbers right. So CBS News did exit polling in North Carolina and talked to Nikki Haley voters and asked them, will you support Donald Trump in November if he is, in fact, the nominee, which he will be? He's basically the presumptive nominee at this point. How the fuck did we get here? Anyway. I know. This is a loaded question. Anyway.
It's an essay.
I know. 78% of Nikki Haley voters said they will not vote for Donald Trump in the fall. That means 176,790 potential Republican votes that would normally go to Donald Trump but won't be. That's 176,790 votes in North Carolina alone. You know what?
Well, come on. I mean, they are the toothpaste that's been squeezed out of the tube. They're not going back in. If they've been willing to resort to voting for a woman, as misogynist as they are, and a South Asian woman, even worse. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They are definitely, if they're that desperate, they're not voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah, right. Well, here's the thing. Donald Trump won North Carolina in 2020 by only 74,000 votes.
Yeah.
In other words, there's 100,000 more Republicans in North Carolina who will not vote for Donald Trump than Donald Trump's actual margin of victory in 2020.
I just, polls, dude, I don't trust polls at all.
Yeah, but
anymore.
I mean, these are exit polls. They were talking to actual people. I get that,
but it's
people.
Still, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's just take
people
this.
People are so stupid and so capricious and so knee-jerk about something. Because Republicans, they say, like, want to fall in line and Democrats want to fall in love.
Sure, that's true. But, I mean, there's all kinds of mitigating circumstances in what I'm saying here. But just tabletop looking at the numbers, Biden could actually win in North Carolina with a 102,000 vote margin of victory. If you just look at these numbers in a vacuum, that's a distinct possibility. Plus, here, going to what you were saying, David, these are actual Nikki Haley voters interviewed by the press after they voted in the North Carolina primary on Tuesday. Let's listen to these people.
Anything but Trump.
That was your priority.
That's my priority.
Is that the biggest reason you supported Nikki Haley?
Yeah, I'd say.
Because of Donald Trump?
Yes, yeah.
Hi, Nikki Haley. I think Donald Trump is a threat to the well-being of our country.
It's important to me to keep Trump out of office again. Project 2025, I've read it, I've studied it, it's scary, it's frightening.
I've lived in a constitutional democracy all my life. I want to remain that way, and I want my grandchildren to grow up in one, and not a dictatorship.
And I'm curious, over the last two elections, have you voted Trump in the past? Was it something where you voted for him, you trusted him, and you were disappointed?
Yes, I voted for him in 2016. I am a registered Republican, and I regretted that vote almost immediately.
There you go. Those are Nikki Haley voters, Republicans saying they will not vote for Donald Trump. I think that is
Let's
a gigantic factor in all of this. Yeah.
That before Fox News, you know, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas all had Republican and Democratic governors all mm-hmm. through the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, we had Democratic governors right up until probably, gosh.
Yeah.
Roy Barnes was the first Republican, and everyone's like, whoa. And now, I mean, because
yeah, I remember
like
my,
I said before, I don't believe in the concept of red states and blue states.
Yeah.
Because there are some very blue places inside red states mm-hmm. and there are some very red places inside, quote unquote, blue states.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just,
that's
I mean,
absolutely right.
You know, if the closer we get to the actual votes on the ground and the Electoral College getting eliminated and someday, you know, actually having a representative democracy, the more Democrats will be elected because Republican policies are largely unpopular.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they're so shamelessly trying to rig the game now, because mm-hmm. they know that people hate them and they don't think that it's cool to restrict abortion. And they don't, but they, to keep their rabid, foaming, hateful base, the Republican Party has to do these things because they don't have any other overarching policy positions.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And by the way, Donald Trump is severely underperforming the polls right now. His actual vote totals have significantly underperformed the polls. In fact, Donald Trump was predicted to win Vermont
like
by
the whitest place in the world.
Yes. Well,
right?
He was, I mean, right. He was forecasted in the polls to win Vermont by 30 points. Nikki Haley won Vermont by 4 points. So, yeah, janky polls, I think. Plus, in addition, going back to North Carolina, you also have the effects of the Dobbs decision, obviously. The overperforming in special elections, Democrats overperforming in special elections and the 22 midterms as a consequence of the Dobbs decision. Plus, this other X factor that's entered the race at this point, which is Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson from North Carolina, who is going to drive up Democratic turnout in the state. Because he said mass shootings are karma for abortion. He referred to children murdered in mass shootings as prostitutes. That's the word he used. And then he said gay people are, quote, the end of civilization. And also, there's a bit of debate on this, but he also is opposed to women voting. So,
no, that, he did say that. He said that at a conservative conference. He said that he wanted to go back to the era when someone asked him, like, when we say make America great again, what America is that you want to go back to? And he said the one before women could vote.
Bingo. Bingo. So my hunch is that between Robinson's extremism and Trump's extremism, North Carolina Democrats could surprise us with some serious turnout energy in that state. So I'm pegging North Carolina as a toss-up state. I think Joe Biden could absolutely.
I think steadily over the next 25 years, it's going to be like Georgia is blue leading the way, and it'll be like North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe Florida because of all the Latin population, and then maybe South Carolina. Alabama will be last. Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi will, of course, be dragging up the rear like they always do.
I've got some good news for you then. Because just today, and I published a piece in the Banter. I was tweeting about this Wednesday, and I published a piece about it in the Banter, thebanter.substack.com. And just today, Christopher Boozy posted his new map in which he gives North Carolina to Joe Biden. Christopher Boozy is right about a lot of shit. In fact, I try not to disagree with Christopher Boozy, especially when he's right about shit. He was right about the 22 midterms. He was right about
early.
Yeah, I know it's early, but still,
I feel like there's all kinds of black swans that could show up between now and election day.
Yes, and that's
up to it, including like terror attacks.
Yeah, I mean, but all things being equal, right now, if the election were held today, Christopher Boozy is forecasting that Joe Biden would win North Carolina, given what he said here. He said, "Here's my updated map after poring over Super Tuesday election data. Trump will lose North Carolina. And although Florida didn't vote on Tuesday, I now see red flags for Trump there that will make Florida a toss-up." He said, "My map will likely change again before November, but I am confident the polls are way off." So right now, Boozy's map with Florida as a toss-up has Joe Biden at 320 electoral votes. He's got Nevada, Arizona, also North Carolina and Georgia going to Joe Biden. And once again, we're talking about Christopher Boozy. His track record is far better than the other major forecasters. The people who I'm trusting as far as forecasters go, and you know, you can choose not to believe any of the forecasters. That's fine. I would rather people assume that we're losing this by a lot. That's what I want.
Yeah, please just keep vote. It is not the day to forget to vote.
Right, right. I mean, again, I guess I got to start offering the caveat: don't get happy, don't get complacent about any of this. To me, the stakes of the election should motivate everybody to get out, and the fact that there are some swing state polls showing Joe Biden a couple of points down. But I've been noticing the national polls are vastly improving for the president. Morning Consult, Tip, they've all got Joe Biden leading nationally. So suffice to say, lots can change. Don't get happy. But it's not as tragic as a lot of people are making it out to be. Pay attention to people like Christopher Boozy and Simon Rosenberg and Tom Bonnier. I mean, those three guys have been correct about all of the elections recently. And they've been standing alone in most of that. They weren't buying into the ridiculous red wave argument in 2022. They were saying, oh, there's not going to be a red wave, of course. And then there wasn't a red wave, which is,
you know, it's, yeah, more of a red smear.
Gross.
Ew, should we do a break soon?
David.
Yeah, we got to do a break. We're late for a break. Let's come back and talk about, Seth Meyers nailed Donald Trump on the show. We're going to play this audio. Ooh. Plus news about the immunity hearing in the Supreme Court. We got to talk about Kyrsten Sinema. And I think there's evidence Donald Trump is broke and can't pay E. Jean Carroll.
We've been saying this all along, though, that it was all smoke and mirrors, that everything is so, like, he's, like, cash poor.
Right, right. I think he is. I think he can't pay these penalties. That's one of the many things that Seth Meyers mentions in his monologue. We'll play that and a whole lot more right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. We now have information we didn't have before. We have information about Donald Trump and his presidency and what it looked like and what it felt like and how many jobs we lost and how sick we got and how many people died. and what he did to an economy and the lying that he did about a life and death situation for you and for our parents, especially seniors, especially the older people. You remember when the pizza guy, Herman Cain, he died of COVID. That was his friend. He didn't give a damn. It was still a hoax, okay? You had his friends keeling over, his friends dying. You had mass graves being dug in New York, Potter's Field. You remember that? Mass freaking graves. And he said it was a hoax. It wasn't really happening. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhoads.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska.
Carry mountains came upon Captain Pharaoh and his money he was counting. I first produced my pistol, then produced my rapier. I said, stamp or would you live up? For the devil he may take ya, but you ring dama do dama die.
Wept for my daddy-o.
Yeah, this is a brand new single from Stop Calling Me Frank. It's a song called Whiskey in the Jar.
It's a great band name.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Yeah, the song is called Whiskey in the Jar. Brand new, out now. Get it while it's hot. Love these guys. Got a link in the description to download it. All right, just go to bobseska.com. Find this episode dated 3/7/24. Click that link. Should be right there at the top of the main page. And just scroll on down and you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists here on the show. I know lots of people are collecting all of the songs they hear on this podcast, which is so wonderful to hear. Yeah, and also we're going to replay the latest Matt Jaffe single coming out of the next break, too. So stand by for that. I was interested for you to hear that one as well, the new Matt Jaffe song.
Okay.
One of our faves here on the show. Okay, meantime, Seth Meyers for the win on this. And yeah, granted, this is a lot of shit that we've been talking about for a while now. But when Seth Meyers says it on a network in front of lots of people who don't necessarily follow politics up close the way we do, this is important shit. Here we go. Without any further ado, this is Seth Meyers last night.
Well, here we are, you guys. Donald Trump is now the presumptive GOP nominee for president again for a third time, despite the fact that he's a twice impeached, four-time criminal indictee and racist who's been found liable for fraud and sexual abuse, banned from doing business in the state of New York for 3 years, owes over $500 million in fine, took millions from foreign governments while he was president, tried to extort a foreign country to interfere in an election in 2020, and encouraged another to help him win in 2016, actively undermined the nation's response to a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic, and let a deadly disease spiral out of control. It's about to go on trial for breaking campaign finance laws by paying hush money to cover up an affair during the 2016 campaign. Orchestrated a months-long coup attack that culminated in a violent insurrection to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power and install him as an unelected dictator. Stole classified documents and obstructed attempts to get them back. Has never once won the popular vote and has been routinely rejected by a majority of Americans in election after election. Spews deranged conspiracy theories about everything from climate change to immigration to vaccines to windmills. Glitches on three-syllable words, two-syllable words, and one-syllable words. Cheats at golf. Can't spell his own name, his wife's name, or the words indicted, education, unprecedented, stolen, Denmark, Kentucky, or tap. And is, on top of everything else, the single weirdest and most off-putting human being on the face of the planet.
That was... Man, that ruled the school, didn't it? Jesus, I love that. I pumped that into my veins,
please. It's depressing, you know? Like, I mean, Jesus, like, why? Why does every single roadblock just bowl over to this guy?
Yeah, I know.
Why did the entire Supreme Court just vote to disregard the 14th fucking amendment and say, yeah, this guy who tried to halt the peaceful transfer of power is perfectly fine to run for president again? I don't get it.
I want to go back to what Seth Meyers said at the very end of that. That's something that I've been saying for years and years and years. Stephanie Miller and I constantly commiserate about the fact that on top of everything else, Donald Trump is just a phenomenal weirdo. There's everything.
Yeah,
every time I look at him, I'm like, what the? Why are you doing that? Why are you saying it that way? What is that? What is that crazy shit? Why the sudden loss of control over the volume of your own voice?
The single most off-putting thing is for me, because, I mean, the guy has never actually met nobody's friends with this guy.
Right.
He doesn't, like, come into a room and people are like, man, I really like him.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like people are either, like, at his feet groveling or at his throat trying to murder him.
Yeah.
And there's no in between.
I see the face makeup that is so bad and so obvious and so ridiculous looking. And then it was, I think we were doing the, Tuesday show or something like that. And I had Twitter pulled up because we were looking at something. And there was a video that came up of Donald Trump doing that double hand job dance that he does now. And it's like, what? The guy looks like he's jerking off two invisible men. No one told him? No one's told him, apparently. Mr. Trump, you know what that kind of looks like? Are you aware of the definition of the word bukkake? Do you know what that is? No one's told, because he's a gigantic weirdo. That's why he does this shit.
That's the worst. The worst is the dancing for me.
Yeah. I know. That's the weirdest thing.
I guess that's really
the
move you're... I was thinking accordion hands, too.
Yeah, well, that, too.
It's just... He has the weirdest physical movement idiom. Just the way he stands, like a Confederate horse, you know, like pitched forward on the balls of his feet.
Defying gravity. Yeah.
So weird. He's just weird.
Yeah.
Would you buy a used car from this guy? No.
No, of course
absolutely
not.
Absolutely. Everything about him is false.
Right.
No.
No, you would never do that. That's just the thing. You know, it's like, if you were to ask around, if you owned your own business, would you ever in a million years do business with Donald Trump? You know for a fact you are going to get stiffed. You know for a fact that he's just going to bust you out. He's going to bust out your business. You're going to spend all kinds of money doing what he wants you to do.
Laying out fake gold and marble.
Right, you're never going to see it again. I mean, there are
trying to make
people,
everything look like a goddamn fresco.
We talked about this on, I believe it was the Shadow Docket on Tuesday, although I tend to lose track. But we talked about Trump bucks. Are you aware of Trump bucks? Where people are buying fake money that has Donald Trump's picture on it, and then they're trying to go to their bank and deposit it into their bank accounts, and they're all pissed off because they can't do it, because the banks won't accept their Trump bucks.
Of course they won't.
No, of course not. But they're not pissed at the bank, thank God. Like the people they talked to in this article about Trump bucks, they were obviously pissed at Donald Trump. They're like, oh, I thought they told us that this was actually currency that you could transfer for goods and services.
What did they think? It was like an NFT or something? Or
something like that, I guess. I don't know. But they were completely deceived. There's three different fly-by-night outfits that are circulating Trump bucks. I mean, they just see. And the reason they're doing that, the reason these companies are established to sell Trump merch and Trump bucks and whatever is because they know Trump supporters are all suckers and rubes who are just ripe for, they're dupes, just ripe for the taking.
I've been looking at that stream of cash, the $250 million just between getting, inauguration day 2021 and his first indictment. And I'm like, man, it almost makes me want to be a right-wing grifter because that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you could just stick your net in like a fingernail pairing of that and get, grab some money and run before you get caught. Mm-hmm. And the tap gets shut off because, they're such fucking idiots and suckers and rubes and they just keep opening their wallet to him.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I know. It's insane. And the other thing I was thinking about when I was listening to this Seth Meyers clip is that people will hear all of that. That entire litany, and that's not even all the things. I mean, there's shit that goes way back to Fire and Fury. Remember Fire and Fury, where Donald Trump just started indiscriminately baiting Kim Jong-un to bomb us? It was insane. I mean, I thought there was going to be a nuclear exchange in Donald Trump's first year in office with North Korea. Like, maybe not hitting us, but North Korea very could have easily nuked Japan or Hawaii. I mean, that's us. Hawaii's a state. And at the same time, people are hearing that and going, Yeah, well, you know what? Eggs are a dollar more. So, you know what? Maybe we need... I'm feeling nostalgic for Donald Trump again. And that's why I'm, like, relentlessly yanking shit out of the memory hole. Like, the fact that Donald Trump admitted to Bob Woodward that he deliberately concealed COVID from the public for weeks and weeks and weeks and did nothing because he was terrified that it would play against him in his reelection campaign, which he lost anyway, by the way.
Did you see the thing the other day where the two people on Fox News were just completely... When their liberal guest was like, well, you know, he had Nazis over for dinner. Mm-hmm. And talking about Nick Fuentes and Kanye West being, you know, virulent anti-Semites. And when you remember, he like had dinner with them last November or November before last. And they were like, that's outrageous. How can you say that? And he's like, no, it's a fact.
Yeah.
It is an established fact. I'm pulling the article up. Mm-hmm. Fox News, this is from 3 days ago on the Daily Beast. Justin Barragona said, Fox News stars flip out when reminded that Trump had dinner with Nazis. And they were just in complete, like, that's a lie. I can't believe you'd say that mode. And it was like, no, they were there. We saw it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let that go away.
Right.
Because I remember that little dweeb from Politico who's Jewish was on the news just being like, I don't know. I mean, I can't believe this. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's happening. I mean, just like, I don't know what to do. And he was like really ready to like jump out of his skin. Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, 6 weeks later, it's back to attacking trans people and black people. And he's just like, oh, it's a horse race again.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, where, you guys, this is all happening. These are real live Nazis.
Yep. So in Donald Trump's rape trial, it looks like we're now discovering that he's probably broke. I mean, I think this is getting confirmed right now. So on Tuesday, Elena Haba and the other Trump attorney, Sauer, also requested, I think his name is John Sauer, also requested that the court reduce the defamation penalty or grant a new civil trial. Trump is asking for a new civil trial in Judge Engoron's court, while arguing that, no, I'm sorry, Judge Kaplan's court. This is the E. Jean Carroll matter. While arguing that Trump was prevented from testifying about, quote, his own state of mind during the original proceedings, and that Kaplan gave the jury an erroneous instruction on what they can define as common law malice. In their letter, Trump's lawyer suggested that before the current deadline for the judgment is finalized on March 11, time will be, quote, needed to finalize bond arrangements if the motion is denied, and therefore the former president is asking that the court issue a ruling on the stay motion. So all of that is to say that the money is due to be paid to E. Jean Carroll on Saturday, the 9th.
Man, I got to say, that would be nice if by the time we get to the Republican National Convention in the summer, the entire world knows that he's broke.
Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, and by the way, he's not paying E. Jean Carroll at this point. He's paying the bond, which will eventually go to E. Jean Carroll because he is, right, of course, appealing. But he doesn't have the money to actually go forward with the appeal.
In the other case, there is like, they're like, you can't, the fraud case, they're like, you can't appeal until you've paid the fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Plus, E. Jean Carroll can start satisfying the judgment by executing on Trump's assets on Monday. So it's just around the corner. Ooh. And on top of that, there's an extra $500 million with $114,000 accruing in interest by the day that he owes to the state of New York as well. So
what if E. Jean Carroll just seized Mar-a-Lago?
Jesus. I know it. You know,
rode what? In on the back of an elephant.
Yeah.
Like, get out, peasants.
That'd be amazing. Holy shit. And you know what? Not only seize Mar-a-Lago, but turn it into affordable housing for migrant workers.
Or like at-risk kids with disabilities.
Yeah, you know? Even better.
Because, you know, he hates handicapped people.
Yeah, yeah,
he does. So it should be like an entire, like, a place for, yeah, low-income kids with disabilities
to
live good lives.
So we're about to find out, like, within the next week, if Donald Trump, one, has any money whatsoever, and two, if he does manage to muster up the cash for, you know, we're talking about $600 million at this point, maybe more given the interest.
You've got to reach out to Lawrence O'Donnell and get him to do the over-under on this because bet he's got an estimate and it would be really, we should do like a betting pool.
Yeah, a betting pool on how broke he is. Is that what it is?
I'm going to say south of 5 million.
Yeah, I think so.
I think he's maybe got a couple of million that are just barely there. Because I think he spends as hard and fast as he takes in from the Russian, you know, the Russian oligarchy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as you know, the thing that I've been thinking about is if he gets the money together, where's he going to get the money? Is he going to sell his property? Is he going to liquidate to get this cash? I don't know. I don't think so. I think right now he's scrambling to get loans. He's scrambling to get people to give him the money. And then the question becomes, where is he getting the money? And what kind of conflicts of interest does that money create? Do those relationships create? There's all kinds of treacherous territory here that I hope people who are close to Trump, like Maggie Haberman, are looking into and keeping an eye on, because that's the thing we got to know. And if, you know, that's the thing that I think voter should know.
You use Twitter, you need to tweet at E. Jean Carroll and be like, promise me at some point that when you seize one of these properties for yourself, that you'll ride in a horse and carriage, you know, like the queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just, oh, that would be beautiful. Like a flying wedge of National Guardsmen ahead of her, just turning out the no good rich people. Like, get out.
Well, you know who's friends with E. Jean Carroll is our friend Mary Trump. So maybe I'll send Mary an email.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys think E. Jean could get access to an elephant? Do you think you should be comfortable up on a...
That's the thing. Florida is really hot, and I don't know how elephants... Well, I guess yeah. Elephants are from Africa and India. They're probably okay in the heat. I just didn't want to do anything cruel to an animal. So maybe, a horse-drawn carriage would be nice, like a Cinderella carriage.
Right.
All pink and dripping with diamonds, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Well, I'm just sitting here fantasizing about this. I was realizing, oh shit, I got to move forward with the show. But I'm thinking intently about Donald Trump losing all of his properties and standing
imagine
there.
Imagine you sitting there in the office with like these wavy lines on the screen, like ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
The sign that the person is daydreaming. Yeah.
What I keep thinking of is that drawing of the Monopoly man with his pockets outturned, you know, mm-hmm. standing there with his hands outstretched. Yeah. Broke. Yeah. Okay. So, meantime, thinking of people who are being shuffled off the scene at this point, Kyrsten Sinema is out. She is done. She is going away, hopefully for good. And the thing that I can't get beyond is I don't know a single Democrat who is like, oh, why does she have to go?
Who is her constituency besides lobbyists?
Yeah, that's it.
Because absolutely nobody is sad to see her go. And yeah. I don't know what she was thinking. I mean, the whole time, it's been completely bewildering, A, why she dresses like that, mm-hmm. and B, what she thought. I mean, I don't know. She had a bad case of the I'm so specials early on.
Yeah.
I found extremely off-putting. There's nothing quite as annoying to genuinely interesting people like myself, mm-hmm. as really boring people who pretend to be quirky, and they have like, oh, that's my signature thing, it's pink. And I'm like, dude, everyone's signature thing is pink, moron. You know, like, or purple, or just whatever. Like, it's, you know, like Mariah Carey, I think, beat you to the punch on that one.
Yeah, but that's what made her whole thing so cynical, that she assumed that that could carry her, like her fashion sense and her sassiness. But you have to be likable in a regular person kind of way. You have to at least
also vote with your caucus.
Hey, right, right.
It's the people elected you in office because they thought you represented a certain set of values that you would uphold when you arrived in Washington, which she did the opposite of. She did a 180 on that. And
yeah.
It was just, why are you there? Like, remember, everybody in Arizona hates her too.
Right. I mean, people tend to
go on, girl. Don't let the doorknob hit you where the dog should have bit you.
Yeah, I mean, people tend to get pissed off when their elected leadership betrays them. And there are all kinds of people, I mean, at the extreme local level in Arizona, who worked their asses off to elect Kyrsten Sinema because she was different and she was historic as far as a winning Senate candidate goes. And so they went through all this trouble donating God knows how much money and supporting her and volunteering,
knocking on doors, phone banking. I mean, all the things that Democrats do for their candidates.
Yeah.
And then she gets there and she's like, oh, I don't want to piss off billionaires and corporate lobbyists.
Right.
Let me... just fuck her. Let's
The first thing she decided to do upon taking office, upon being sworn in, was to kiss the ass of the most hated Democrat in the United States Senate, who was Joe Manchin. And so it's like,
man, those do kind of deserve
what are you thinking? You know what I mean? And so she feels as though, well, you know, the Democratic Party has shoved me out, which probably means that she'll end up on RSBN or Fox News or some shit like that, like Tulsi Gabbard, who's still doing that.
She's going to go to work for Elon Musk.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, that's one of the things that is similar between Kyrsten Sinema and Tulsi Gabbard. They both have this attitude like, who, me? Like, why did you do this to me? I mean, I'm not unlikable. You're being unfair. It's like, of course you are unlikable. No one likes you now, which is why you have to run to Fox News. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard was on Fox News the other day saying, oh yeah, if Donald Trump asked me, I'd totally be his running mate. It's like, well, could it be more obvious that you're just all about the cynical cash grab? You're just in this
Tulsi Gabbard,
clout.
I've been skeptical of from the moment. I just locked eyes on her and was like, I don't know. This is one of the, I mean, no offense, dude, but there are like people who talk about the spirit of Oahu or whatever, of Aloha. Mm-hmm.
Aloha,
and it's just like, dude, give me a fucking break.
Suffice to say, you know, she's being hustled away from the Democratic Party. Mostly.
I just see her in that old anti same-sex marriage commercial where she's like, same-sex marriage would be like me marrying my brother. And I'm like, sweetie, that ain't it.
Yeah.
You know, like keep your personal fantasies and your flowers in the attic shit to yourself. You crazy bitch. That's not what we're about. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, meantime, Dr. Ronnie is in the news again. And
oh, yeah. I thought you guys were going to hit that on Tuesday about the pharmacy at the White House and all the.
Oh, we did. I think we did. It may have been in the shadow docket. I don't remember. But we did talk about it on Tuesday. The whole thing where we found out about the Xanax and the speed. In fact, the name of Tuesday's show was Speed Fascists. It was like the sequel to Cocaine Bear, Speed Fascists. And so we did talk
just
about
like
that.
The Nazis, they loved their speed, man.
But there's a new wrinkle on all of this. According to the Daily Beast, Ronnie Jackson was quietly demoted by the Navy in July 2022 after the Pentagon Inspector General's reports substantiated allegations of inappropriate conduct and bullying of staff, according to the Washington Post. And you know what? The bullying of staff pisses me off far more than the illegal drug abuse and distribution of controlled substances. Citing a current defense official and a former U.S. official, the Washington Post reports that the previously unreported demotion lowered Jackson to the rank of captain instead of rear admiral.
Rear admiral.
Yeah, I know.
Admiral. Mine is certainly. I don't know about your rear, but.
However, he still describes himself as a retired rear admiral on his congressional website and is publicly referred to as such by his Republican allies. Of course, they love that shit. They also refer to attorneys general as General so and so. Remember they were calling Bill Barr General Barr, and they were saying Jeff Sessions, they were calling him General Sessions. Like,
wrong.
Good God, what is wrong with you? Yeah, of course it's wrong.
So he ran for Congress under false pretenses. He ran as a rear admiral. So now I'm doing it.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
That's the name of today's show, by the way, is Rear Admiral.
okay, good idea. That'll be it.
But yeah, he ran as a rear admiral for Congress, didn't he, when he was actually had been demoted? And
of
that's not
course.
A single leap back to captain, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. Navy's different. Because Air Force goes like sergeant, lieutenant, captain, major,
right,
lieutenant colonel, general.
Yeah.
but I think on a boat, the captain is the top guy. So I think he holds the position that a colonel would. I don't know. Let me look that up.
Yeah. A Navy spokesperson was quoted saying the substantiated allegations against Jackson, bullying subordinates, fostering a negative work environment, and using alcohol inappropriately, well, we knew that, are not in keeping with the standards the Navy requires of its leaders. And as such, the Secretary of the Navy took administrative action in July 2022. Whoops. I always wonder if Ronnie Jackson was sharing mimosas with Larry Kudlow.
Greenland is a strategic place up there, and they got a lot of valuable minerals.
Yeah, okay, it's a single bump down.
Yeah.
Rear admiral to
so it's one position. Yeah. Yeah. That has to have stung. I mean, that can't be a pleasant thing to go through if you're.
No, getting demoted after your service is kind of an unheard of thing.
Yeah.
Like, the rank you retire with is your rank forever, unless you really egregiously fuck up.
Anything bad that happens to Ronnie Jackson is fine by me. I mean, talk about a guy with no decency or decorum.
No, and he really gives me a gay vibe, by the way.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Seriously closeted vibe.
So obviously lied about Donald Trump's health status in that press conference after.
Right.
Because remember, if there's a whole thing. I mean, it was amazing after the Jerusalem speech where Trump was slurring his speech so badly when he said, God bless you, Narshesh.
Didn't Jackson say he weighed like 215 pounds or something?
Yeah.
It was 230.
But we found out they also did a cognitive test because of that. and
woman TV camera.
Yeah, which isn't on the cognitive test, but okay. No. He was just saying what he saw.
And no one had ever done it that well before, Bob.
No.
They were like, wow, you really aced that, Mr. President. No one's ever gotten it that quick, you know.
That's right. But yeah, so there was that, and then Ronny Jackson got in front of the American people and said, oh yeah, you know why that happened is because I dried up his saliva. Okay, yeah, I have no idea what that even means. Why would you do that?
I like that Saturday Night Live sketch where he was like, the president is a, what did he say, like a perfect Coke bottle figure? With measurements of, you know, like 36, 34, 48.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's like Donald Trump was bragging about his score on the cognitive test, which is like bragging that you were able to do the maze on a Friendly's restaurant menu.
Right, you passed a roadside DUI test, you know? I mean, it's not hard.
I was able to find the word mini on the mini page in the newspaper. Oh, congratulations, Mr. President. That's an amazing feat of cognitive stamina. Yeah.
Let's get you to the soft foods buffet, old man.
Can we call you Brainiac? Is that okay? No, of course it's not. Okay, we're going to take one last break and come back, talk about Alabama Republicans. There's movement on IVF in that state.
Well, imagine that. A bunch of rich ladies were like, hold up. Yeah. I've been trying to have a baby and what?
Yeah. And of course, we'll end the show with some decent news, some good news here. So back with more podcast right after these words.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, this is John Fugelsang of SiriusXM, and every morning as part of my parole, we bring you a condensed version of last night's show as the John Fugelsang Podcast. Our guest list has ranged from Brian Wilson to Rakim, Julie Andrews to Ashanti, Willie Nelson to Smokey Robinson, from Mark Hamill to The Who to R.E.M., from Bernie Sanders to Chris Christie, Tyler Perry to Carol Burnett. We've got the best journalists, most qualified opinions, and some of the best comics with the most unqualified opinions. The John Fugelsang Podcast. Get it wherever fine podcasts can be downloaded.
Seska plays more music.
Jaffe, we debuted this on Tuesday. Given another playing here because we love Matt Jaffe. This is a song called Twilight of Our Prime. What do you think?
80s movie montage. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like ready to drive on the highway with the windows down and put on my Ray-Ban Wayfarers.
Yeah, by the way,
I gotta say though again, like last week's music with Jody's songs, they were just amazing. And it makes me feel kind of like shitty. Like, damn, like I thought I was a musician at this party. And like, oh, no. Miss Jody's going to do donuts around me in the parking lot, apparently.
Yeah, well, like, I told Jody, everyone on the Patreon page is like, holy shit, how can we get that song? We got to have that song. Where's that song? We want to get, they wanted to get Shut Up and Dance. They wanted to download End of the World. And neither of those things are available to download at this point. But Jody knows, Lonnie knows, I've told them both. And so hopefully they will get the songs posted someplace publicly, whether it's Bandcamp or Apple Music.
Hell, just give us a fucking Google Drive link, you know?
Well, like, I mean, them to be able to capitalize on the quality of these songs. I mean, not that posting them on the various music platforms are that all that lucrative, but it's still something for their hard work. And besides the
You see, I think Apple is suing Spotify because they're like, you can't pay nothing to people.
Well, that'd be great, a noble thing for Apple to do.
And fucking Spotify has just re-signed Joe Rogan for however many billion dollars. Meanwhile, they're like laying off half their, like a third of their staff.
Yeah, I know.
I fucking hate Spotify. Spotify to me, I mean, Apple doesn't do so much better in paying artists, but I the Daniel Ek guy that's the head of Spotify, when he was like, well, if artists want to make more money, they should put out more music. I just want to clobber him. Just,
oh, God.
Like, just horrendous. Like, pick up a bar stool and gently massage his scalp with it.
I got to do one of these days. I got to do a whole Wednesday show about the ridiculousness of the music industry. I mean, there's so much fuckery that goes on in the music industry.
It was bad, but now it's really bad. And people have just been trained to think that music is free.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always been mobbed up to a certain degree.
Yeah,
especially back
in
the old days.
Corrupt business besides the mafia in the United States.
Yeah, and the mafia does have its fingers in the music industry, or at least it used to. But now there's all kinds of other corruption and fuckery going on in the music industry, and it's a lot of it has to do with the streamers and so forth. A lot of it has to do with the music industry's reaction to the existence of the internet and the rise of things like Napster 20 years ago and so forth.
So people were trying to warn the music, just like they were trying to warn movies and TV studios.
Radio stations,
like,
this
is about to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get ahead of it, it will change itself. You know, users will change it. And that's exactly what happened, is the users were like, well, we can get this for free or cheaper, so we're not going to buy material products anymore. And the, you know, record industry was still trying to sell them CDs and cassettes, and we're just like, you know.
And then there's Metallica trying to sue their own listeners in May of 2000. Remember that? It was
no.
I did a whole cartoon.
Oh, I do. Actually, that was the basis of your cartoon.
Yeah, I did a cartoon called Napster Bad, which people are always amazed to hear that I was responsible for that. And but that was in reaction to Lars Ulrich showing up. And I say Lars Ulrich because that's how I said it in the cartoon. Lars Ulrich. I know that's how you pronounce his name. But Lars Ulrich showed up to sue all of the people who downloaded Until It Sleeps from Napster.
Right.
And so that was not a smart thing to do because the backlash was fierce.
Well, at that point, musicians were still making mad royalties too. It was like, so you just want, like, you know, want to get a solid, you want to get a 24 karat gold toilet seat instead of an 18 karat gold toilet seat. Lars Ulrich. I mean, you're not exactly like shivering in the poor, like, you know, out in the cold by a garbage can fire to stay warm.
Yeah. Wasn't a smart move. I mean, I could see suing Napster, but suing his own fans was just ridiculous. Okay, yeah, that's something I definitely want to revisit a year from now in May. So May 2025, it'll be the 25th anniversary of all of that. Certainly be the 25th anniversary of me posting that Napster Bad cartoon, which, by the way, I still get email about that. I still get not only fan mail about it, but I also get hate mail about it. Like, how dare you do that to Metallica?
It was one of the first viral phenomena that I encountered.
Yeah.
And it had the perfect amount of, like, cross-culture. Like, the Phil Hartman thing was just brilliant. I'm not to suck your dick on the air too hard, but...
But yeah, I had James Hetfield doing the fire bad thing because he was burned on stage.
And then the way that Lars was crawling around like a spider with his armpits out was so very much like that he acted and looked in their MTV or bio documentary thing. It was just...
It was one of those confluences of a couple of things. News events and the fact that just a couple of weeks prior to him trying to sue all of his fans for downloading songs on Napster, I had developed a Lars Ulrich impression. I had decided, I'd seen him on MTV or something like that, and I just started doing him around the house. And I was like, oh shit, he's in the news big time now. So I just cranked out a cartoon in a couple of days.
Take advantage of this.
Yeah. Well, we're getting way ahead of ourselves because this is something that I want to talk about a year from now.
A year and 4 months from now, yeah.
Yes, I know. I'm already marking the calendar.
We haven't talked about the fact that Jeff Bezos is now the richest man in the world and that Elon Musk has lost the crown.
Oh, so sad.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I'm so sad about that.
Yeah, I'm so sad,
too. You should go to Elon. Oh, technically, I'm the richest man in the universe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well,
We're going to be talking about his latest stupid move with Twitter here, allegedly, in the Shatter Docket portion of the show.
What, yeah, it's so, allegedly Twitter or that he allegedly...
it's something that I read. I'm iffy on the source, but suffice to say, we're going to mention it because it sounds like something Elon might actually do.
One of the AI companies that he was originally a part of and then had a tantrum and quit and started his own competitive agency actually just sued, and like all their emails are about to come out to the public, or actually have already been dumped into the public record, and I can't remember what the name of the company is, but it's not going to look good for him.
Yeah. Well, Jojo from Jers and I talked about Elon and Twitter yesterday on the interview show. I had a great talk with Joe about all kinds of shit. She is so entertaining and funny and interesting, and she described Ted Cruz's beard as Ted Cruz's jowl merkin, which I thought was hysterical. I was like, wow, it's like channeling David Ferguson. That was like a thing you would normally say. But it was a great time talking with Joe. So if you haven't heard the Wednesday interview show, please go and do that. We talked about her portrayal on Saturday Night Live. Dakota Johnson played JoJo from Jers on a sketch in Saturday Night Live a few weeks ago. So it's kind of amazing. We talked to her about that, plus her interview with Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall, plus, of course, all the political stuff as well in there, too. So be sure to listen to that. Meantime, just a couple things before we wrap up the show here. Alabama Republicans are suddenly okay with destroying fetuses. This is the trash compactor that they've made for themselves. They've rabbit season, duck season themselves on IVF.
3PO! Open all the doors of the decision level!
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they're stuck here between the popularity of IVF and the fact that IVF does, in fact, destroy, in their term, babies, right? They believe that fetuses, embryos are human beings, babies, in fact. And now Alabama lawmakers Wednesday passed legislation to shield IVF providers from civil and criminal liability, capping off their scramble to allow the fertility treatment after a state Supreme Court ruling found that frozen embryos should be considered children. And so
this is what happens when your policies are not actually based on what you want to do. They could just like, we want to control women.
Yeah, exactly.
Unborn people's lives are something we're hanging that on.
Yeah.
This
destruction of babies is okay. But if it's a 12-year-old rape victim, no, that's not okay. You can't have an abortion in that case. It's absolutely insane. And Governor Kay Ivey, of course, a Republican, swiftly signed this bill into law. I mean, it's good. It's a good bill. I mean, this is positive for the people of Alabama.
People who are rich enough to afford IVF are going to be able to continue their access to the technology. But it doesn't do much for, you know, poor women who need abortions.
Right.
That's just at the bottom of it all, Alabama, you know, and every other state that's trying to infringe on women's rights to control their bodies, please, I'm holding up my middle fingers. You can fucking sit and spin. Like, just.
Well, it's just rank hypocrisy is what it is. But we are in the post-hypocrisy era. None of that matters anymore. So here we are. Quick thank you to Fox News Channel. This has been happening more and more often. People on Fox News Channel accidentally spitting out the truth and reporting on, you know, things like reality and facts and statistics. So there was a screen grab floating around from Tuesday night, their coverage of Super Tuesday, and it was a graphic that showed the economy under Joe Biden January 2021 to January 2024. The unemployment rate, and this is the graph, I'm just going to read it right down here, and this is the graph as presented on Fox News Channel. The unemployment rate is down 2.7%. Jobs added up 10%. Wages up 15%. Dow Jones up 24%. New home sales prices up 12%. Fuck. That's exactly fucking right. And it's crazy that we're getting this kind of truth from Fox News Channel and no place on MSNBC outside of the primetime lineup, and really no place on CNN either. But I love that this is kind of cutting through this bubble. Like, so there are people watching Fox News Channel and seeing that and going, really? Jobs are up 10%? Unemployment's down 2.7%? Are you kidding me? Dow Jones up 24%? It's great news for our 401ks and our mutual funds and so forth, our investments. Home sale prices, great, 12%. Wages are up too. Boy, that really negates that inflation, doesn't it? Yes, it does. If you're a homeowner,
it definitely swims the exact opposite of what the message that, you know, but I mean, it still the right wing, they're just like, it's worse. I mean, it's the apocalypse. Everything is worse than it's ever been.
Yeah.
The country is in decline because they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's again, the whole narcissism thing. It's just like, if we don't feel like we are the absolute emperors of the universe and all we survey,
mm-hmm.
everything's going to shit.
Yeah. Well, meantime, you know what, tonight, and of course, people listening to this will already know this information, but I think Joe Biden is going to cap all credit card late fees at $8, which regulators say will Wow. save Americans up to $10 billion a year. That's great news. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau rule will close a legal loophole that had allowed some financial services to charge an average of $32 per month.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
Mr.
Like, if you
late
get
payments.
Behind on your credit card payments, you end up paying for months and months and months just paying the late fees trying to get back to your original borrowed amount. It's yeah. really pitiful. It's sad.
Biden also announced the formation of a new strike force meant to crack down on junk fees and other anti-competitive, unfair, deceptive, or fraudulent business practices on things like groceries, prescription drugs, healthcare, housing, and financial services. But, you know, he's old.
Yeah.
So why even bother with him? Let's have fascism. That's a great idea. I've got some sort of weird nostalgia for the COVID era. So let's go back to that.
I can't believe they're actually saying, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? I'm like, do you not remember 4 years ago? Right? I mean, come on. We were like completely shivering in our burrows like terrified yeah. animals, you know? Like,
right. Right. That was horrifying.
And the economy fell off like a fucking car off a cliff.
There was a mass grave established outside of New York City, or as part of New York City. It was in the Bronx, but it was an island separate from Manhattan. And they had a mass grave there where 2,300 bodies were buried in one long trench during COVID. That was shit that was actually going on. And I'm astonished that people are like, yeah, we got to go back to that guy. I mean, that was directly Donald Trump's fault that we had mass graves, that they had so many dead bodies that they had to bring in refrigerated trucks to store them in. I guess Donald Trump
loves
trucks.
All the countries with like women presidents, right, or prime ministers, like did so much better in COVID. I just imagine what President Clinton would have done.
Yeah.
She would have seen that shit coming, and 6 weeks ahead of it, she'd be like, okay, everybody, we're all getting masks and gloves.
Yeah.
And we're going to, you know, like stay home and pass laws that make sense.
Well, we saw what was happening with COVID in China, and there was a time when there was one guy in the United States who had COVID, and it could have ended right there. Isolated that guy, shut down any entry into the United States, and that would have been it. I mean, there was a
Do you remember
a roadmap
that woman from the
that.
CDC was like, okay, this is what's coming.
Yeah.
And this is the impact it will have, and they fired her.
Right. And Donald Trump, meanwhile, waited and waited and waited, admitted to Bob Woodward that he waited and waited. Let's not be stupid. Do the right thing. All right, Shadow Dog, it's coming up next. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.